Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made or how a wooden table is built piece by piece. And in not so small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
Hey, everyone. It's Asten Herndon, political reporter for The New York Times. When I became a journalist, I made a promise to my readers, like the way that doctors take an oath to their patients. I committed to bringing the truth to light, no matter which party, business, organization, or person I'm reporting on. I have to be persistent. I have to do research, and I have to push back when someone tries to hide or spin the facts. And I know I'm going to write stories that both Democrats and Republicans don't like. But that's what The New York Times has been doing for more than a century, and that's what we're going to keep doing. We believe the public deserves the right to make up their mind based on the facts. So if you want to support this kind of work, you can subscribe to The New York Times at nytimes.com/subscribe.
Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your 14th beat change in just four songs of music news and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica. Nothing for a note with the gifts and babies. A handful of Wheezy, sprinkle of Dave East. Man, I ain't got no type like Jimmy and Sway Lee. But if he can't fuck three times a night, peace. I tried to fuck 50 for a powerful hour. But all I wanna do is talk power for hours. We beat the poopy up, make sure it's a KO. Step your banks up like you're moving at yayo. Somebody go and make sure Carucci okay though. I heard she think I'm trying to get a coupe to Quavo. They always wanna beat it up, goon up the poop. Man, maybe I should let them auto-tune up the poop. All these bow wow challenge dudes lying and shit. Many spetty wop stay eyeing my shit. Drake worth 100 million, always buying me shit. But I don't know if the poop red or if he crying and shit. Meek still be in my DMs, I be having to duck them. I used to pray for times like this. Face out when I fuck them. Man, Uzi is my baby, he ain't taking the L. But he took it literally when I said go to hell. Used to fuck with Young Thug, I ain't addressing the shit. Caught him in my dressing room, still in dresses and shit. I used to get this new with a lisp, testers and shit. How you want the poop? You can't say your S's and shit.
Dreams of fucking one of these little rappers.
I'm just playing, but I'm saying.
Dreams of fucking one of these little
What can you say about Nicki Minaj that she has not said about herself or intimated about herself? You are listening to, God willing, an edited version of Barbie Dreams. Barbie Dreams is a remake of Biggie Smalls' Dreams. It is one of the better songs on Nicki's new album, which is Queen. Nicki's album arrives at sort of an unusual moment. The number one rap record, number one record in the country, is a record that she may not topple, and that is Travis Scott's Astroworld. And you may say, John, what do Travis Scott's Astroworld and Nicki Minaj's Queen have to do with each other? They don't have loads to do with each other, but they do strike me as similar in one way. And this is something, that an idea I've been working through in a piece, which is that in this exact moment, neither of them are particularly well-suited to the album format for very different and very opposite reasons. But I want to talk about both these records. And to do that, I've got David Turner. David is a freelance writer and viral rap dance enthusiast who also writes a weekly newsletter called Penny Fractions, which you should subscribe to. It is about the streaming economy and how all your famous artists are going to be super broke if they're not already super broke. So that's a really encouraging thing. And for the first time on podcast, Brianna Younger is here. Hey, Brianna.
Hello.
Brianna is a freelance writer, and part of the reason I wanted to have Brianna specifically is because she just reviewed the Nicki record for Pitchfork, and she likes the Nicki record.
I do.
That's the hottest take.
No, it's the correct one.
No, I think
one.
Yours okay. is the hottest take.
Okay. So talk me through this, because I really struggled with this album, like a lot, and I want to hear from both of you guys, apparently. I would like to hear what you think the vision of this record is and in what ways it holds up to or improves upon her prior catalog.
So what I would say is for her prior catalog, I'll be, as we were discussing earlier, everyone here has different opinions on the Nicki Minaj discography, if we're going to be honest. I personally found her last album, The Pink Print, to be fairly disappointing and maybe certainly her worst project in the last 10 years.
And I completely beg to differ. Let the record show.
Yes. So,
and I want to say that this underscores my point, which is that Nicki does not have a good album, a genuinely great album in her catalog.
Which I disagree with, because I find her first two albums, Pink Friday and Pink Friday Roman Reloaded, to be fairly strong pop slash quasi-R&B, quasi-pop, quasi-rap. I don't know. There's like a lot of...
Peter Rosenberg was not available to be on podcast today.
Thank God he's not. But so back to, so for Queen, I think one of the reasons I like it is because she's just rapping. She sort of like eschews a lot of the pop.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
A lot of the pop angle that she was trying before, which I feel by the Pink Print were sort of getting a little tired and getting a little rote and not quite working as well. And also in 2018, she can just be a rapper, which I think is one of the big differences between 2018 versus 2010 when she sort of had her first album, is that in 2010, pop was still pop. It was still Britney Spears, Kesha, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, where now in 2018, pop is... Travis Scott, Ray Shremmer, Drake, like Migos, like pop is rap at this point in the world. So Nicki can be a little more of herself. And I also obviously forgot the big elephant in the room for this conversation is Cardi B as well.
Oh, yes.
And you have to appreciate also that like as rap music, like popular rap music at least, is becoming like very woozy and like melodic, that she released a rap album. Like she could have found, you know, the sweet spot in.
Well, it's not like
rapping.
A Rock Marciano record. I mean, let's not go too far here.
No, but she's actually rapping, whereas everyone else, including Travis Scott, like, leans on this, like, super melodic, like...
But that is rapping. That's what's so interesting. And I agree with the facts of what you're saying, but the vibe of it feels different to me because there's something that feels a little obstinate about this record, especially in the beginning part of the record. I kind of don't want to subject people to the song with Eminem, but maybe maybe we should listen to let's listen to like under 10 seconds of Majesty, which is Nicki Minaj and Eminem. And let's listen to the Nicki part that's late in the song.
Boom, shang-a-lang-a-la, boom, shang-a-lang-a-la.
Yeah, though, let me hit you back. Told him I'd get you back. I know you sitting there just thinking about who did you that. I am who did you that. You tripping, did you pack? Can't post on Nicki block unless you selling Nicki crap. Here, take a Nicki pack. Check out this Nicki act. Nicki this, Nicki dad. All these bitches piggyback.
So you'll have to take on faith that there is an Eminem verse on this song that's like 64 minutes long and is partially about Souls of Mischief and Tribe Called Quest. Like it makes no sense whatsoever. But this is sort of my struggle with Nicki. There's a version of a rap album that's maybe a mid to late 2000s rap album where this makes total sense. It's like, it's my play to be taken seriously. I'm rapping against like one of the best rappers like, of all time. It's sort of one of those weird, like mopey Eminem songs that like sort of had some crossover potential in that same era. And it's Nicki kind of being like, I can hold my own in this space with this kind of rapper on this kind of song that may kind of like stumble into a Z100 hit in 2009.
Yeah.
It's 2018. The universe does not need a song like this. Like, literally, like, was this left over from, like, the sessions from, like, three Eminem albums ago?
Part of me feels like Nicki and not even part of me. Nicki feels like she is perpetually in a corner. Like, everything she does seems to always be with this intent to prove herself. And I think by rapping next to Eminem in 2018, it's still a very much, like, I can hang with Eminem. Like, because she's always feeling like she's not getting her just due.
I'd rather she hung with Young Thug. Like, that's like a much more 28.
I did like anybody.
Yeah, no, I actually think one of the things I was thinking about is that Eminem and Nicki Minaj have had years of collaborations. And one of the things I always think about is that the two of them are very theatrical rappers, which if you sort of think about in 2018, theatrical rappers is not a like normal thing. Like most rappers are melodic. They are not caring about the actual pen or the quality of their rhymes. No offense to everyone. No offense to Juice WRLD. But that's like...
Juice WRLD freestyled for an hour on Westwood. What are you talking about? And I watched all of it.
You watched all of it.
No, that's actually not true.
No one watched all of the hour
much
long...
There's too much content.
No one watched an hour long Juice WRLD freestyle.
Best new freestyle.
But so So Eminem and Nicki Minaj have a history going back for a while, and I would think of it because they're the most sort of like theatrical rappers. And I think that's a quality that is like sort of underrated amongst why they have such dedicated fan bases, is that you have characters, you have narrative, you have...
It's dramatic.
Yes, it is. And that's sort of a thing that I feel like a lot of rappers in 2018 just lack entirely. That I think that might be why her album does feel so late 2000s, is that it sort of feels like kind of a different era, which I think you're right, like, right, Brie, that Nicki is still always fighting these sort of, like, quasi demons and / real conflicts. If we think back to the Peter Rosenberg incident a few years ago, is that she's still just never been given basic respect in the industry by her peers.
Think back to the Flex interview yesterday, where she's still having to be like, I write my own rhymes. I can rap.
But is that about her asserting her need for respect, or is that still a shot at Cardi?
I think it's respect. I think she's been not respected and disrespected actively for almost her entire
and
career.
And I was going to say,
literally one of the top five rappers of the last 10
according
years.
According to whom?
Yes.
According to me.
But not according to people. But like, I feel like the issue is
right,
that...
Right, exactly.
The issue is that Nicki's like actual...
Not worried about that.
No, but like the thing is like Nicki is not respected as she should be. Like as a pop star, she had a solid about 5 years of pop hits. If you go from like 2009 to 2014, that's a solid run of pop hits, a lot more than most other contemporary pop stars. I would shout out to like someone like even Christina Aguilera probably didn't have as long a run as Nicki Minaj.
Ooh,
to be honest, but
messy
just to say, but as a rapper she's also so disrespected. If you were to go back to, I was listening to Pink Friday Roman Reloaded, all of the raps on that album are almost better than most rap albums that we praise, and it's just not even a comparable contest. Like, would you rap next to Rick Ross, Cam'ron, 2 Chainz? Who is the best rapper? It's Nicki Minaj, mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj, and Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. Even
and
though
I, and I think
has
we
bars.
All engage in probably more rap conversations than are healthy, but like in no conversation where you're like, who are the GOATs? Does Nicki come up? Like, it's usually a woman or, you know, just some afterthought that's like, oh yeah, and Nicki Minaj. And it's like, Nicki Minaj is not your oh yeah addendum. Like, she's literally one of the best rappers out currently.
And that's why I love Barbie Dreams. I mean, that's why I like Barbie Dreams, because, like, that's a song no other rapper's going to make. Like, almost right. No other rapper's going to make that song. They're not going to have as much fun with it. They're not going to get as much ire out of people with it. Like, imagine Cardi doing that song.
Wouldn't be credible.
It also just would never happen. Like, that's just not the kind of artist that she is. To her credit, she does something very different. And so I think when I was listening to Queen, I was like, oh yeah, this is sort of a rapper who is a little bit, almost at this point, getting a little bit out of her time. But part of me does sort of think that because she is so theatrical and does sort of enjoy playing characters, she could be doing a lot more and has a lot more space for things.
Okay, but let's take this idea about Nicki as a GOAT or Nicki as an important rapper on a technical level. Because to me, like you mentioned before, very theatrical, a tremendous technician. But if I'm going to be honest about Nicki's catalog, not the best ear for hooks, not a really robust sense of what makes a great song. Mm. And this is a thing that I've always struggled with, is to me, her peak moments, they feel like solving a math problem. It's like we've handed you a song with 3 other moving parts, and you have to figure out how to not only fit in amongst the moving parts, but also outshine and like kind of like be more advanced. And I think she's very, very good at kind of solving these Rubik's cubes. Word to logic, solving these Rubik's cubes. Who can relate? Solving these Rubik's cubes on the fly, but memorable Nicki Minaj standalone songs, great melodies, strong hooks. I'm not totally sold on it, and that sort of. If she gets left out of that GOAT conversation, maybe part of it is that. On a pure technical level,
we can bring that to the party for essentially, speaking of the modern era, anyone not named Drake, who conversely makes great songs and is not the best technical rapper, but still gets all of that credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say, so the person I was thinking of as you were talking was honestly like an Eminem, like post, I guess, 2004
right.
Eminem, where it's like technically still there, songs, hooks, beats, all of it just kind of like lost in the shuffle. And I think, and also I hate to say this, but like Lil Wayne after like 2010, where it's sort of like, oh, the rapping is still there, but it feels like you're just sort of being slotted into these awkward positions.
Wheezy F Lazy.
And like the thing is like that, wow. Like, and also like who are Nicki's like closest comparisons and who are always on her albums? Lil Wayne and Eminem. I kind of feel like those are like two people who she raps on a very equal level of, but also has some of their same issues and flaws when it comes to actual making albums, especially.
Wait, did you just say Lil Wayne can't make albums?
In 2010.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant ever.
No. Oh, never.
I was going to go in.
No. I'm just saying.
Sidebar.
And I like the Carter Four, and I like some of his like 2010s discography, but it's not what it used to be.
For sure.
So I think we should also include Jay-Z in this conversation. There's an interview that Nicki gave where she talks about a song LLC and how when she first played it for Jay, he said, oh, you really went in on the third verse. And that made her go back and rewrite the first two verses. So let's actually listen to the third verse of LLC.
What they made me do, they made me do. Switch the foreign on them navy blue, the baby blue. Look at how they started popping when 80 flew. All my niggas moved that Britney Ari, yeah, Katie too. Gas on the really dope, gas I pumped them. Straight trash on the really yo, yes I dumped them. Push the limits, I'm a pushy boo, yes I bumped them. Push past being filthy rich, ask I trumped them. Cause I scare my biggest error, ever. Never been clever, don't force it fairer, because you'll never be me, that's with the Bella. GG, Dolce Gabbana, DG, pretty gang rated, PG. Now carry on, now carry on, now carry on, now carry on. Swish, swish, I'm just getting my curry on. G6 flow, all Louis V carry on. I just took her name and made that bitch a LLC. Stuff a couple stacks of Ben and bitch, get on your feet. Twice as much if you switch it up just to see. So you he's rich and famous, but he's just a guy to me. On blood, you made me, you made me. You made me, you made me. Yeah, yeah. On blood, you made me, you made me. Yeah, you made me, okay.
So this is the part of Nicki that I really like. Nicki understands the heritage from which she comes. She not, and I mean that genre terms. I mean that city terms, location specific. I like that Nicki cares about how words go together. And that's like increasingly, as when we get to the Travis Scott part of this conversation, that is decreasingly a part of rap music. And that's fine. You know, you don't want to be like some stodgy old person. But, you know, it's not what I was raised on. But
bring back 96.
Hey!
That's not how I feel, actually.
It's also not how I feel.
If anything, 98, 400 degrees. But anyway.
Wow, that's strong take. So I like that Nicki understands herself in that tradition. And I think peak Nicki is when she feels part of that tradition. When she, in her head, not she feels to me, like you can feel it in how she is relating to beats, how she's relating. Also, she's not the best ear for beats. That's something to think about. But how she is relating to the tracks, that to me is the purest Nicki. And it's like, you don't want to be like, oh, it's mixtape Nicki or nothing. Cause like she's had some interesting pop moments, but like, it is clear that her true comfort and strength comes when she is connected to that tradition. And there are not enough moments like that. There's this little run in the middle of this record of Chun-Li, LLC. I guess Chun Sway is kind of like this.
Good form.
So there's this run, and this is sort of what you talk about in your review. You're like, oh, Nicki is back to rapping.
Right. No, for sure. But I think also, like, the lead to my review talks about Nicki as, like, she's essentially the first female rap pop star in the era of rap as pop music. So I think there's this constant, again, like this pressure to like, because if you think about what her best performing songs are, it's like Anaconda and Super Bass. So Nicki hasn't been rewarded in the commercial scene.
For the things that
she's best at. And she has this pressure as the foremost female rapper to sell these records, to be on the charts, to, you know, live up to that title. So I think as much as the battle is external in terms of people really giving her her credit, I think it's internal. Like, what does this look like? Because she is like her own blueprint. Like, there's no one to tell her, this is how you move. Like, this is the first thing you do, and then you make this record, and then you turn a corner, you make this record. Yeah. Like, she's literally filling it out based on
she's inventing rewards. She's sort of inventing it. And that's interesting. And I guess, but in your mind, do Majesty featuring Eminem and Labyrinth and Bed featuring Ariana Grande and Thought I Knew You featuring The Weeknd, are those the same? Should they be on the same album? Are they the same artist? Like, when I hear these songs, I'm not hearing a consistent, like, you know,
I think you're hearing the pressure.
Also,
Nicki genuinely likes making those records. Like, from the jump, she was like, I want to rap, I want to sing. Like, mm-hmm, you know, on Can Anybody Hear Me? Mm-hmm. She raps about, like, you know, wanting to rap and sing, and the label being like, people won't get it. Mm-hmm. She's no Lauryn Hill, rada rada. Mm-hmm. So I think Nicki wants to be this literally omnivorous. That's not the word.
Yeah, it kind of works.
Nicki wants to be this like omnivorous star who can just like snake in and out of these mm-hmm. these modes. And I think anytime she does it, or she thinks she's giving people what they want, it's not rewarded. So she's constantly in a space of like, well, what do I do?
Yeah,
but do you believe, like, when I listen to Thought I Knew You, for example, I'm like, this is Inessential Nicki paired with Inessential Weeknd.
No, I do agree. That's one of the more forgettable.
Yeah,
but I also agree that, like to be fair, I put that a lot on The Weeknd, who just makes a lot of unessential featured verse songs that just happen to get on because, you know, labels do what they got to do. Like, just to be on.
But The Weeknd comes off on the Travis record, though.
I actually don't even like the Weeknd on the Travis record. We can get to that later.
Okay.
I think Nicki's also in a space where, like, part of her albums are becoming, because, like, this is what, the fourth Ariana Grande? Like, it's like, Let Me Call My Friends.
Yeah.
Like, that's also very much where we are. Like, oh, yeah, Abel's my friend.
Sure.
I got him in the studio. Like, okay.
Also, and I think also in the same way that there is a simpatico thing happening with Nicki and Eminem, there is a different kind of simpatico thing happening with Nicki and Ariana.
Yeah. I was going to say, I actually really like Bed. I actually like all the Grande Nicki collaborations throughout the years. They're always kind of a little odd, because it's sort of like you just sort of feel that, like, Grande's coming from a very pure pop world. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to the, like, Pink Friday, you sort of realize that Nicki could just be doing the Grande, like, could always be singing Grande's parts, but eventually Grande just sort of comes in and sort of replaces her, which is fine and good. And actually, I think it works really well on a song like Bed. I like having it with Grande then instead of just having it with Nicki. And I feel like overall, like, they've been collaborating that I've sort of grown to, like, really appreciate and enjoy.
I think that generally they both have a theatric approach to sexuality. Like, Ariana, especially, you know, coming from her post-Nickelodeon career, like, she kind of been, you know, it feels very character-driven, Ariana Grande. Yeah. Although, obviously, Pete Davidson era Ariana Grande feels very real. But prior to that, let's say Mac Miller and that weird British guy era Ariana Grande.
And Big Sean. Don't forget Big Sean.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, I don't want to erase Big Sean. That's right. I never erase Big Sean. Hi, Joe. I know you're listening. Yeah, like that, it always felt like a character, and Nicki being someone who's such like a character-driven, like, Nicki is basically like an Instagram character actor, you know? Like, you see people on Instagram or just like every video is like, I'm a slightly different thing. Like, that's Nicki. Yeah, Nicki been on that.
Yeah, I'm going to say Nicki, if came up now, might be closer to like Tierra Whack, potentially. That could be.
Wow.
Ooh. I mean, that is a compliment.
Good day.
I mean, that is a compliment I think, like, Nicki, with given the sort of what social media is now in 2018 versus what it was only a few years ago, would be someone that would try to do a lot of characters and would try to accentuate those characters in different formats. And someone like Tierra Whack, who does that, who just did that most recently on her last project, is someone that I feel like probably looked up to Nicki, or at least looked up to her as a slight inspiration for what she is doing.
Absolutely. Let's listen to Tierra Whack. What song should we play?
Let's go Pet Sematary.
Yowza.
They treat him like a stray. I talk to God today.
All dogs go to heaven.
I miss my dog.
Heaven.
I kiss my dog.
Heaven.
I miss
keep it his name alive. If I believe hell on earth,
all dogs go to heaven.
My dog had a name,
I'm gonna say his name.
Keep it his name alive,
I'm the one to blame.
If I had to leave,
he would do the same.
Hell on earth,
walking through the flames.
Heaven, heaven.
This podcast is supported by the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
This is A.O. Scott. I'm a critic at the New York Times. What I do and what the other critics here do is part of the same project that all of the journalists at the New York Times work on every day, to give you clarity and perspective, and above all, a deeper understanding of the world. When you subscribe to the New York Times, it's not just here are the headlines, but here's the way everything fits together. If you'd like to subscribe, please go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
So we're listening to Tierra Whack. That song is 1 minute and 0 seconds. It's like a hardcore song. And we're in an interesting moment in popular music and hip-hop especially, where albums are sort of clustering at two opposite ends. They're either extremely short with extremely short songs, or they're really long and bloated. I mean, when I wrote earlier this year about the Post Malone thing and the Race Remembered multiple album, I was thinking so hard about bloat, and I was thinking about how albums are designed not, they may be 20 tracks long, but they're really one long, they're like one 66-minute yeah. song. That's a streaming particularity thing. Nicki's album is long.
It is very long.
It's long in an old way, though. It's not long in a new, it's not long in a future way.
Right, it's not like long, it's like long 47 tracks.
Right.
It's long.
It's old-fashioned long.
Exactly. And all of her albums, because at first when I like went to review it, I was like, why is this so long? And then seriously? I remembered like all of her albums have been this long. And I think that is what keeps Nicki from having her undeniable classic, is that I don't know any artist who can really pull off 20 straight songs of just fire. Like,
unless they're a minute long.
Unless they're yeah. a minute long. Exactly. And so I think what's keeping Nicki from that real, like, oh, Nicki really, to quote her, did it
mm-hmm.
on him.
Hey.
Shoot me.
I wish I had a soundboard so I could like, press a button and have did it on him just like, oh, like, did it on him.
Yeah, I think if she really like carved out like a strong 10 songs, like she would really have something.
And she needs the Kanye edit.
That could be said for all of them.
She needs the Ye edit.
Like, yeah.
Pink Friday, Roman Reloaded, Pink mm-hmm. Print, all of them. Like I think, because she's making good songs and she's mm-hmm. rapping extremely well.
And there's also the thing, and to hear you just even run down the names of the albums, it's she also arrived in a pop moment where there was an album and then you had like the deluxe album that came out 6 months or a year later. So it's like you took an album that already was kind of overblown and then you add a bunch of songs to it, which is nuts. When I think I agree, what she could really benefit from is editing. And I don't want to diminish, there are really good moments. I really, really like Coco Chanel.
Yes, absolutely.
We should let's hear a little bit of Coco Chanel, the Nicki part. Not that I don't want to hear the Foxy part, but like let's listen to the Nicki part.
If they have your gold chain, then they make a plaque of it. No, we never lack on it. Run up with the Mac on it. Put a couple racks on it. They gonna put the whack on it. She got the Nicki bundles worth a stack on it. That's worth the Brooklyn. That's worth the Bucktown. That's worth the Harlem World. Shout out the Uptown. You know I shine on them. I spray sheen on them. That's worth the Southside. Jamaica Queens on them. I'm mad Queens on them. Mad schemes on them, I never scale back. The triple beams on them, my ice gleams on them. Wu-Tang creams on them, I pull up on the block, bumping Biggie dreams on them. 100 degrees on them, but I freeze on them. A light breeze on them, I might breeze on them. Might do it like it's Christmas and light trees on them. I see the copycats biting my steez on them.
Dame a la coco, yeah, la coco. Ellos quieren coco, y yo tampoco. Never trust a broke hoe, don't fuck the popo. Número uno.
Here is Nicki in two of her comfort zones. One, Caribbean. and one actual rapping. And it's interesting, like, so Nicki had this Beats One radio show. And I was like, wouldn't it be great if Nicki's Beats One radio show was just all female rappers? Like, if she just played 3 hours of, like, in a way of just being like, I embrace everybody. Like, I'm here. Yes, I'm the father and mother of all your styles, but, like, I'm here. That's not what happened, but it was nice. Now, obviously, her rapping with Foxy, it's a shot at Kim, it's a shot at Carter. Like, it's obviously, it's subs all around, but it was really nice to hear her rapping going back and forth with someone of an earlier generation to understand. And again, Nicki understands the history from which she comes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That's a high point for me. Also, I genuinely like Chun Li. This was like a weird confession I had to make like 3 months ago, where I was like, Loki, I don't turn off Chun Li when it comes on Hot 97.
I was gonna say that is a good song, Joe. I know you're listening. You're wrong. You're wrong.
It's what I'm saying. There's been like four Joe subs in this first half of the podcast.
Joe did nothing to deserve this.
No, Joe did a lot.
No, actually, it's actually inaccurate. He's done quite a bit. So when I hear moments like this and take your point into like the whole picture, I'm like, oh, where's the editing? Where's the person who's saying no? And this is something that I think is like a general struggle, obviously, in all celebrity culture. Like, it's not like particular to Nicki Minaj and her albums.
Of course not.
But it's something that's worth considering. But while we're on the subject of bloat, another album that is 176 minutes long is Travis Scott's Astroworld. David, when you and I were texting, did you say Astroworld, the album, was better than Astroworld, the merch?
Yes, but I also think I said that Astroworld was the best Kanye album since, like, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. So I was just throwing out takes. For the fun of it.
Just spitballing.
Oh, man. We might have to take a water break.
Yeah. I don't stand by that take, but it's a thought that I had. We can discuss it. It's a thought.
Okay, well, since we're talking about Travis and Kanye, let's play Stop Trying to Be God from the Travis Scott album.
Just know what this is about. Palm trees, oceans, fresh air, that can break your heart. Stop trying to be God. Stop trying to be God. That's not who you are. Stop trying to be God. That's just not your job. Stop trying to be God.
Ride for it every night. Visions in these ankles tight. Truth be told, I never try. Diamonds are the white for life. All three rollies look alike. After two, you get a hooker price. Stripper never worked a 9 to 5. Delta and I ship it overnight. Stop trying to be God Almighty. The money never leave your people behind. It's never love no matter what you try. Still can see it coming down your eyes. Cause they did not create commandments. When your hustle always make it fancy. The signal's far from what you can be. Cause air traffic controls the landing.
So here's a good song. There are some good songs on this record. I may enjoy this. This may be actually be low-key the Travis album that I enjoy the most. I am not the hugest Travis Scott fan, or the second or fifth hugest Travis Scott fan.
Or the million.
Yeah. Like, everyone who streamed a song off Astroworld is probably more of a Travis Scott fan than I am. But Stop Trying to Be God, I've been struggling to really articulate what the thing with Travis Scott that really keeps me at a remove from him. And it sort of revealed itself to me when I was watching the video for Stop Trying to Be God, where I was literally watching a video of him looking at a camera, looking at a camera, rapping, and I still couldn't connect with a single thing that was coming out of his mouth.
Yeah,
it was as if he was not, you could have removed from totally from the rest of the song, and I'm not sure I would have processed it any differently. And that's been my struggle with Travis. I think a lot of people struggle with Travis.
Even in a live setting.
Oh, loved him live.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Loved him. I mean, I've seen him twice now. Like, absolutely. Like, a great, great performer. And a great aesthetics guy.
Yes.
Like, here is a person who is truly absorbed. He absorbed all the rap and fashion tumblers of the early 2010s. He ate them whole. They're like, yes, like chipmunk cheeks. They're all in there. He gets it. And it's but my favorite Travis Scott release of this year is the GQ video with him and Kylie talking and Kylie washing him constantly and him just sitting and taking it. That's the best Travis Scott release of the year, in my opinion. But anyway, what's your guys' vibe on Astroworld?
I want to say I generally am a Travis fan as of Birds in the Trap singing Brian McKnight from 2 years ago. I thought his earlier work was derivative and fairly uninteresting, but by Birds, it sort of seemed like he was sort of finding his inner Kanye, and by that I mean his curatorial sense, just started getting finer and more exact. And it sort of got to this point where it'd be like, oh, my favorite Bryson Tiller song of 2016, or like a most of his discography was what he did on Travis's album. One of my favorite 21 songs was on Travis. It's like all my favorite artists of the last few years, some of my favorite moments happened within Travis's world, which is a quality that I used to sometimes attribute to Kanye. If I think back to 8 years ago,
yeah, with Fantasy,
with Monster with Nicki Minaj, it's like, hey, who Nicki's best song was on a Kanye song, and that is a trait that is now at this point passed on to Travis. So now with Astroworld, I think personally, as I'm listening to it more, I struggle with what you were saying with earlier. Every time I listen to Travis's albums, I'm like, I don't know what these are about. Like on a fundamental level, I have no idea what this is about. Is it
what
about
the why is?
Yeah, it's like I feel like he's making stuff because it sounds cool and because it's very interesting, mm-hmm. like just sort of sonically, which is fine. It's great. Like I enjoy sound collages, but I just sometimes struggle to figure out what exactly is the point of the music that he's trying to convey beyond. But it's a vibe, I guess.
I think that describes most
music.
Most popular rap to an extent, not like the Kendrick side of things, obviously, but you think of like a Playboi Carti.
Yeah, but I think with even Carti, I feel like there's something it's not significantly more there than Travis, but I feel with Carti, it's like I get a moment and I get more of an essence of something. Like when I hear Carti, I hear Soho, or when I hear Travis, I don't hear a place. I just hear sort of like a studio session just sort of gone awry. And I mean it in the best way possible. I don't like mean that as an insult, but I just feel like, so in an interview with Rolling Stone, like Sycamore, who A&R'd like with the record, mm-hmm. talked about how there was so much Houston on it. And I have
There's so much South on it. And I am so, so here for mm-hmm. it.
I'm going to say speak more on that then.
I mean, it's not the sound of the South the way it is now currently in popular rap. But, you know, from, like, the Cell Therapy, the 3-6.
Should we listen? Is it 5% Tint?
That absolutely. Has yeah. All right, it's my so favorite
listen,
song on there.
Let's listen to 5% Tint.
Who's that creeping through my window? Before you come outside, I got the info. Took it to the end zone from the end zone. No, I love to smoke, you love to lick more. Wanna hit the jack, then what you call for? All that out your name, shit, that ain't called for. Who that creeping, know the tent is dark. All that falling love, shit, got it, Kevin Hart. All that speeding fast, shit, we might tell apart. All that copper rest, shit, I might clip a Sarge. Keep bouncing that up, you just might get a wart. Yeah, if she bad, she get a pass into the tour. Passes, yeah. I pick through the family, grab a bass like Janet. Ops outside, don't panic. Gotta switch, gotta change up transit. Still jump around, move fancy, and I still don't like shit fancy. Up late, feeling real chancy.
Boom, 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 boom,
so
boom.
Good.
So that, for our younger listeners, that is from a Goody Mob song. That is, and in a weird way, it's funny to hear. It was funny to read Sycamore saying there's a lot of Houston on it because there are moments, but there's no moment in my mind as blatant as this, and this is not a Houston.
I mean, there's the screw, and there's and like Fat Pat shows up. Well, Fat Pat sample shows up,
but it's also just like I don't know. There's a lot there. There were Drake has done more Houston sounding stuff. Than this, and Drake is not from Houston.
Yeah.
That's true.
That is true.
So it's not that I don't believe in Travis's Houston, like, bona fides. I do. I just, if you're going to make a song called R.I.P. Screw, why is Swae Lee on it? Why is Hawk not on that song? Like, why? Like, there's so much you can do. Like, screw the texture of screw music. It's like so.
But also, specific. I mean, I guess somewhat in his defense, where is Houston in the rap scene right now?
Wow, wow. Let's not. Wow. Yo.
Well, thanks for coming to podcast this week.
I want to say no shot. Like,
Who am I missing other than Megan Thee Stallion?
Sauce Walker. Like, no, they're still out here.
But are, like, do they have that? Because, like, this is not.
I don't think it's as.
This is
coherent.
Not Chamillionaire and, like.
No.
It's not Catch Your Mind Correct.
Magnificent.
It is not
Magno.
As. It is not as coherent a standalone aesthetic in this specific moment as it was when Travis was probably 12 years old.
Yeah.
Or 10 years old. It occupies a place in his imagination, much as it occupies a place in mine and many other folks. But I was surprised when it was advertised as, like, being so Houston. I kept listening to it, and I was like, yeah, and? Like, this, maybe? Kinda.
Yeah, it just didn't, which is fine. I think that's a, I don't think that's a.
Tame Impala, the Houston of, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. That's like the most screwed music on the air. It's like, I gotta listen to the guy from Tame Impala. That's like the most screw music on here. So let's talk about Travis as a rapper, because we keep talking about him as a channel.
Why would we do that?
That's the question.
Right. And scene. no, but I think that's ultimately, he is tofu-like. He really, there's something, you know, as Guru famously said, it's mostly the voice. And with Travis, it is mostly not the voice. There is something textureless about his voice. And I couldn't quite figure out what it reminded me of until yesterday. And yesterday I was watching Terrace House. Shouts to all my Terrace House gang. And on Terrace House, almost all the music is, like, clearly made by, like, a jingle house. You know, like, it's, like, clearly people, like, trapped in a studio. And they're like, do a rap song. Do a punk song. Like, do a country song. Like, and they're just, like, probably just, like, churning out. Like, all the music is super generic and super. And I was listening. There was, like, one song that was, like, a quote-unquote rap song. And it was, like, Walmart Jay-Z. but the texture of the guy's voice was so flat and so affectless. I was like, oh, this is, like, Travis. Travis Scott is, like, demo. It's, like, demo rap voice. It's, like, the thing that you give to Kanye to make sound cool.
Yes.
That's how it feels to me. Like, it's very rare. There are only a few moments in his catalog where I can, like, identify a true Travis Scott, like, melodic high or, like, a strong, like, four bars thing. And it's interesting. We should listen to, what's the last song? Coffee Bean? Is that the, all right, let's listen to Coffee Bean, which is Travis in his bars.
Told you I'm a bad move. Plus I'm already a black dude. Leaving the bathroom, my hands is half rinsed. If only you just had sense. Speaking in past tense. It's been a week and a half since. We ain't been speaking in that man. You feeling free in my absence. I've been going through a lot behind this glass tent. Yeah.
So I was, like, mildly sympathetic to Coffee Bean, largely because it reminds me of a lot of the final songs of old Kanye West records, where he just rambles on for 9 minutes.
Love it.
I'm very sympathetic to a long ramble. And this is Travis being like, I can rap. But it is weird that it comes after 16 songs where I'm not sure that I can identify two consecutive bars of Travis Scott lyrics. Am I out here alone?
Shade
no,
is so
I,
wild.
No, I agree, but I don't think that counts against him. I think that's one of the best things about Travis in this moment in particular is that rap right now is not so. I mean, it is personality driven, but the personality of Travis happens in the live setting. It happens through social media. That is where, like, the personality of Travis needs to shine through. It shines through in the Kylie interview as well. Like, you see him in a way that you don't hear him on record ever. Where on record, I feel like what Travis essentially sells to people is just sort of like this idea of bringing all of your friends together and being able to craft this thing that is sort of bigger than the whole. It's like, oh, okay, like what I add to it is just a small sliver and a small piece. And once everything comes together, you get this sort of amazing track. It's sort of why I sort of think about it like, I assume like the actual like recording process of this probably has hundreds of songs. And I'm sure there's so many variants of these tracks.
Pieces of songs.
I'm sure the songs have hundreds of tracks in themselves.
That's the thing. Like the songs, there are songs that are three songs. First time I listened to the record top to bottom, there were probably at least two, maybe three distinct moments where I was like, oh, the album's over. Because there was a song or a part of a song that was coming to an obvious like sonic conclusion. And I was like, heavy exhale. Like, okay, we're at the end. And then I look and I was like, no, there's five more songs still to come. It's strange that he does. There's the arc of the record doesn't necessarily feel like beginning, middle, end. But
I think we have to appreciate that level of innovation. If you, I don't know if that's the word you would necessarily use.
It's the word you use.
But it is the word I use. But like, you know, because most people go in the studio, throw on a trap beat, verse, not even 16, 8 bars,
right.
Hook for 27 bars.
Yeah.
Another 8-bar verse, and we up out of here. So you have to appreciate that
all of the state of Florida just shivered.
Yo,
right,
that's
now.
True.
You have to appreciate that he's in here really crafting songs that are like
stitched, then are like stitched together.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to say my favorite moment of the album when I first listened to it was Yosemite, because when I heard it, I was like, wait a minute, this sounds familiar, and I was like. Because, like, one of my favorite songs of this year is Sold Out Dates, which is Gunna and Lil Baby.
Yep.
And the funny thing was, like, I heard Gunna, and then it's like the turbo drop. I was like, oh, okay, they got this, like, probably the same recording session. But then Travis starts rapping Gunna's verse from Sold Out Dates. And I'm like, of course. There's no other way that Travis, of all people, couldn't just, like, he had to have Gunna, the same producer, and then still bite the same bars. I was like,
it is peak, it is chef's kiss, Travis. And also, I'm just going to go and say this is a song in which I do not mind Nav. Let's listen to Yosemite featuring Gunna and Nav.
That's on my knee, dollars begin. Hop off a jig, barely get wrist. Cash through the mud, I get a check. You selling run on my pants and my chest. Chanel address, clean up a mess. I eat a flesh, you know the rest. Count up a hun, couple Rolex. Shine like the sun, you truly blessed. You told me text, Fendi clip up like I Uber the chest. VS is on me, got my Louis shirt wet. It's an M in my bag and get used to these racks. I'm with this school where they teach you finesse. 500 shoes for the drip, I invest. I'm the boss, man, I keep catching the debts. Go to cool fast when it end with an S.
Brianna, are there other guest appearances on this record that you feel are really strong?
I really like the James Blake part.
Okay.
Like, I really do. And
on Stop Trying to Be God.
Yes, which we already heard.
Yep.
And same song, the Stevie, like, imagine getting Stevie Wonder in 2018. Like,
yeah, sure.
What? Like, that's crazy to me.
Do you think Stevie Wonder knows he's on this record?
No.
Yeah, he's got no idea.
No idea.
But I think The Weeknd contributed, especially compared to the Nicki one, like
he
contributed two good features. Mm-hmm. Or is it three?
Yeah, it's two. I think it's two.
Okay.
I think the way I was thinking of it is it's more Future Weeknd than 50 Shades of Grey Weeknd. Like it's like the better part of the Weeknd's depravity is on this record.
I think Swae Lee is a good feature across the board.
Oh yeah, that's always
like,
true though.
Although people need to start showing my man Slim Jimmy some love.
Seriously.
Immediately.
Real talk, he's the PMD to the Eric Sermon of Ray Shremmerd.
No one that has listened to Ray Shremmerd
even
knows
who
these people
no
are.
Idea what I'm talking about. Google it, kids.
No idea.
I try to leave y'all with gems to Google. That's actually should be a recurring podcast feature, is like old man tells you to Google.
Just Google.
We'll leave them in, I want to say, in the notes.
One of the things I think about in relation to Kanye and Travis, because obviously a lot of people know Travis through Kanye from about like 6-7 years ago when he sort of like had his first come up.
And Travis was there during the Yeezus sessions. Like when I went to interview Kanye during the Yeezus sessions, Travis was like just zooted out of his mind in like one of those weird abandoned buses on Rick Rubin's property. So Travis is, Kanye was absorbing from Travis, but low key Travis was absorbing
from Kanye.
And I think
the curation thing is always like, this is the same dude who put the 1975 on Days Before Rodeo.
Thank you. That is
like,
wow. I'm going to say, yeah, Travis's SoundCloud and some of the collaborations he was throwing out there, I guess like three, four years ago, kind of sort of prelude and predate a lot of this. But my thought when I listened to this album the first couple of times was, this is the first post Life of Pablo album. In the first that, like, I always wonder, because we listen to Kanye albums, especially now, you wonder who will take the mantle of, like, he went this far, who's going to take it the next step? You sometimes, before Drake albums release, you always sort of get the sense that Drake is fighting a Kanye, like, that is sort of, like, one of these yes. idols he's trying to take down.
Of course.
And then you get to the album and you're like, no, this is not. You guys aren't even playing in the same field. But Travis and Kanye are, and this to me felt like the first album was, like, The Life of Pablo was an album similarly that could have ended at 7 different points. And actually, I guess, like, to be fair, might still be
unfinished.
Yeah, it still might still be finished at some point. But this felt like the first album where I was like, okay, someone heard this and was like, oh, this idea of just pulling all of these features and all these sort of producers together, what can I do with this particular form? And I really appreciate that, because like when I listen to Kanye's music, as I've listened to it for over 15 years, I expect that people to build upon it. And they don't in the ways I expect. And Travis is actually one of the artists that, of the recent Kanye, actually is building on it and going in interesting directions.
And it is, and this is to kind of tie the two things together. We were talking about Nicki's album being bloated and bloat being the sort of coin of the realm today, but it being bloated in an old-fashioned way. This feels bloated in like a very specific 2018 way. This is like the even if I don't love this album, I like it, but it's like the 2018 album.
Yes.
That's, you know, even more so than a standalone Juice WRLD project or whatever. But like, this is like when we think of kind of the orchestral music of 2018.
Yeah, I mean,
it.
This is the kind of album that, like, I don't know what I mean, critically, it's gotten like pretty decent critical response so far. But it's the kind of album that at the end of the year, people would be like, this is what I remember 2018 sounding like. This is the kind of like. I don't know where Rolling Stone will end up ranking this on their list, but this seems like a kind of Rolling Stone-esque album where it's like, it's an album. Like, it is an actual album. And that's a quality that rap, especially in, like, the fringes, like, the less mainstream fringes, had just almost completely thrown away
abandoned.
The idea of an album. Like,
yeah.
They barely even think about that now.
And it's ambitious. Like, I will always appreciate mostly well-executed ambition just because it's hard to see it a lot, like, outside of like the Kendricks of the world, because like people speak of like Drake doing a double album, like that was his ambition, and it's like, no,
just had a lot of songs,
right? Exactly.
yeah, I want to like make a like, yeah, like Drake and J. Cole, I just want to like, who are both rappers I really like, and I really like J. Cole's last project, but they're both rappers that aren't ambitious to me, and I don't think that's a fault. But when I listen to their projects, the lead up to their projects and the way that fans talk about those projects, you think like it's going to change just like how we listen to rap.
And to like connect the dots some more, like I think that's the one thing that's missing from Nicki for me, is that I really want to see like her do something super ambitious.
Like conceptually.
Yeah, exactly. Like I really want to see her like, I don't know, on a Travis Scott beat. Like I don't know like what it is, but just like that sort of like, I have already, like, I want her to stop proving herself and start, like, just doing stuff.
If you are right, and you said this in your review and you said it here, that Nicki is still in her mind proving herself, if that is really what's active in her brain, I totally agree. I want that washed clean, because it's, she's out here.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, you know,
also,
we don't
curse,
but she's Nicki f***ing Minaj. you know, like, and own it.
But
yeah,
like Drake is the same way though. Drake, in a different way, like Drake is fine in the music game, but Drake feels like his real life is constantly against him. Like everyone he's ever interacted with in the history of ever is just like against him.
Yeah. And one of the things that I actually want to say, like to wrap back to Nicki for a second, is that like I would love sort of like a, like, I don't know if I want Nicki in the Travis mode, because I feel like she would just get lost and just be kind of be unwieldy. But something just like, even like her with a single producer, like something pared down, like even an EP.
Like I said, the Kanye edit.
Yeah, well, I don't want the Ye edit because I heard those albums. I don't, no offense to Kanye, but I don't want that. I want something maybe, I guess, like we mentioned Rock Marciano earlier. I don't mean something like that to the conservative end of rap.
Give us a call.
No, I don't want it to be that conservative, but I want something where it's like, hey, this song or this style works really well for you. Stick with it. Even if it was like Grande, like a sixth Grande like song EP, I think it'd be pretty strong in a way.
And to sort of go back to Bree, what you were saying earlier, I think you're right that Nicki does feel a need because she is kind of carving out the path on her of there is no blueprint.
Right.
Certainly not for a female rapper, but I think even for a male rapper, there's not a blueprint with her particular skill set. And so she does, in every album, there is this try-hardness of like, I can still rap with Eminem.
Right.
And I can still make a soft song with with Ariana Grande.
Right.
And I also got bars.
Right.
But also I have like a cheesy pop song. And the universe, especially in 2018. Look, in 2018, where you could just put out six EPs over the course of the year, and one could be all Eminem collaborations, and one could be all pop songs, you just do it differently.
I think that's the ironic part, is that Nicki is trying, as I say, to be everything to everybody, because that is what, like, women in pop have to do. And the ironic part about that is the moment she stops is, I think, the moment she becomes everything to everybody.
Wow. And we hope that whoever might be listening takes that to heart. Let's close. Should we close with the Nicki or Travis song? Now, Nicki did not mention Travis on Dreams. Am I right about that? I'm pretty sure she didn't mention Travis.
What would she have even, what about Travis? Because she had made fun of him.
Yeah, because he never rapped a bar that she could remember.
Oh, you just got to go with like the Kylie Carucci.
That's
kind
true.
Of.
Yeah, that's true. Should we go out on a Nicki or a Travis song?
Let's go Nicki.
Okay, yeah. Let's go back.
Show my girl some love.
All right, so what should we listen to? Which Nicki song would you like to rescue?
Oh, we already did LLC. So
we did LLC.
Good Form?
Yeah,
let's
do that. Let's
Which one?
Good Form?
Good Form.
Okay. So let's go out with Good Form from Nicki Minaj's point.
Yo, hold up. Okay, hold up. You see a bad bitch coming through, yo, what's the hold up? I'm in that new me and new when I roll up. I told a valet, pop my Benz and bring the Rosa. Yo, hold up. Okay, hold up. He see me looking pretty every time he scroll up. My God, the left the blicky hit you if you stroll up. Now put your hands up, it's a whole lot. Run me the money, cause I be the baddie beat.
That's our show. Thanks to Bree Younger. Thanks to David Turner. You can listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. I would like to know what your favorite Travis Scott bars are. Email me at podcast@nytimes.com. I'm curious to see how many emails I will get on this subject. We are inching towards live events and merch. If you have questions or curiosities or ideas, email podcast@nytimes.com. Subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your audio content, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, yada, 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 yada. Our producer sort of is Karen Gans, although she's actually not sitting here right now, and also sort of is Pedro Rosado from Head Separate Media, but he is on a beach right now. But somehow this will turn into a piece of audio content that ends up in your feed, and for that we are grateful to both of them. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Come on. I be like, ooh, he love me, ooh, he love me, good form. Come on. I slick, drop the top like nip slips. So he trying to smash like when the whip flips. I hit licks just to floss with this wrist.